I titled my lesson when I was getting it together, To Please the World and Keep the Bible. And after listening to Gary's lesson this morning about what would it take for you to confess Jesus, I realized that the world that don't know anything about the Bible probably never would come to understand anything about Christ. Some kind of way it's going to have to be presented to them to cause a thought in their mind to investigate it. The world is pretty much out there. It don't take much to see that going on today. So my thoughts when I got this lesson together has changed just a little bit. But to keep the Bible for the world or the worldly minded, it would have to be rewritten. Over in Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, the occasion is right before Christ's ascension into heaven. He's given last minute instructions to his apostles. And if it would be changed, right here would be a good place to change it. If it was going to be changed, it says in verse 3, he presented himself alive to them after suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and spreading about the kingdom of God. And Jesus said, I've been preaching for 3 years and I have only a handful of followers. To be successful, you will need to take a different approach. Don't mention sin, the wrath of God, hell, repentance, or the cost of discipleship. Don't say anything about false prophets or speak against those who merchandise the church for gain. Preach a feel-good gospel. Be sensitive to the needs of the people. Above all, don't let the gospel become a stumbling block. The world hated me for my message. The world will love you if you tell them what they want to hear. If the conversation went as read just now, there really wouldn't be any need for a Bible. But as I was talking about the worldly, there's people who profess to be Christians. They profess to follow God's will. They profess to be favored by God. So they want that Bible around for it to really mean anything to them. It would have to be rewritten, kind of like we just talked about. Because people want to feel free to do it as they want to do. And still feel religious. God's people of old did what they wanted to do to make them feel good. Over in Judges chapter 21 and verse 25, it said, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, chapter 21, verse 25 is the last chapter and the last verse in Judges. So picture that book ended with those words, that everybody did what was right in his own eyes. And during the time of the Judges, men were doing their own thing. That's what it said. They were doing their own thing. There were judges there, but they wasn't really following anybody. They were doing what they wanted to do. And Samuel, he followed Eli. And I don't know if you would call them judges or not, Samuel and Eli. But they were some type of spokesman for God. They were probably the only ones to kind of keep them in the right direction. So I don't know if they were being called judges, but Samuel was the last one mentioned, and he took Eli's place. And in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 4 through 5, it says, then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah. and said to him, Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. So it said even Samuel's sons did not walk in his ways. So evidently they were doing their own thing also during this time period. And we see something else here in verse 5. Appoint us a king to judge us like all the nations. And in other words, they wanted to be like those around them. That majority feeling kind of makes people be influenced by the many. And here we don't have a king, and all the nations have kings. Make us a king. So what it tells me is that mankind is confused. He wants to do his own thing, but then he wants to be led. He's a really mixed up fella. They wanted a king like all the other nations. In other words, pasture's greener on the other side of the fence. And that's the way they were thinking. And just to show how mixed up they are, how mankind is, Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. When I say that, I think about Warren. That's one that he's put to memory. Anybody ever asked that question, he's got the chapter and verse. Man cannot direct his own steps. And it reads, I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it's not in man who walks to direct his steps. And that's really true. We see a people that wanted to do their own thing, but then again, they wanted to be led. And they didn't know how to do anything right, it seemed. And we also see that man is influenced by numbers. They wanted to be like all the other nations. And we know right now, we live in a country where a majority rules who we vote for will be the next president or senator or whatever. We know that majority rules in this country, and that's the way people think. Majority is right. And Christ spoke about the word many. And we're going to look at those things that he spoke about being many. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through 14. He says, Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. But those who enter by it are many. Jesus uses that word many. And that's not a good thing to be in that group. Because that gate that they're going through is wide. And that gate they're going through is easy. But it leads to destruction. And many are on that path. He goes on and says, For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. So we know what Jesus said about the many, that majority. Not such a good deal. Not such a good deal. Also, in the same chapter, Sandy, turn to verse 22 and 23. It says, On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's not the side to be on. And they're going to be departed from the Lord. They're not going to be with him. They're not going to have that association ever anymore. But they were many. They thought everything was fine. Also in chapter 22 of Matthew, verses 1 through 10. This will be a little bit of a long reading, but bear with me. And again, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son, and sent his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding feast, but they would not come. Again, he sent other servants, saying, Tell those who are invited, See, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen, my fatted calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention and went off, one to his farm, another to his business. And while the rest seized his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. The king was angry, and he sent his troops and destroyed those murderers and burned their city. And he said to his servants, "The wedding feast is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the main road and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find." And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good, so the wedding hall was filled with guests. So again, that word many is, we see that the Lord went out and looking for many. And he went in various places to do that. Now in verses 11 through 14, we're going to see that it requires some responsibility on a person who has been invited to the wedding feast. It's going to require some responsibility on that person's part. He says, "But when the king came in to look at the guest," and you know, we talked about good and bad guests that came in. That's kind of the way it is with us. Some of us are pretty good folks, some of us are bad folks. And in our prior life, we had to do some changing to be in favor with the Lord. But anyway, he had those guests there, good and bad, at the wedding feast. And he saw there was a man who had no wedding garment. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment?" And he was speechless. Had to be pretty embarrassing, I would imagine. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and cast him out into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." The Lord calls many. He goes in various places to find them. He finds them good and he finds them bad. He wants them to come. But it takes responsibility on that person's part for the king or for the Lord to be happy. Many are chosen, are called, but few are chosen. It's a bad picture there. Well, Jesus, the one we're talking about when he was talking to his disciples before he ascended into heaven, he was talking about those 3 years and he only had a few followers. Jesus knew that he was hated. And he knew that his words were hated. In John chapter 15, verses 18 through 19. This is it's kind of what he was telling his apostles. But Jesus knew it. He said, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So Jesus knew that he was hated. He knew that those that would go out and preach his word would be hated also. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. I was reading that scripture. And I had a little bit of a problem with it. It says, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." When I read that verse 3 and I got to the word people, I thought, who is this talking about? Is it talking about the people of the world or is it talking about Christians? I know when Paul wrote Timothy, he was writing to a Christian. And I know that Timothy was looking over and preaching in the church of Ephesus. Who is the people he's talking about? Now that's the way my version reads. Go back up to verse 17 of chapter 3. As Garrett always said, look for context to see what it's talking about. And I'll go ahead and start with verse 16. He said, "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now let's go to verse 1 of chapter 4. So it said the man of God will be equipped. So I charge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is a judge, the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people, and I've been told that there's only two versions that says people. The other version says they. And also that's what the Greek says, is they. And I'm not good in English, but that's a pronoun. Is that right? It's a pronoun. So it's going back to verse 17, talking about man of God. And so it sounds a little different. For the time is coming when they will not endure sound teaching. So here we have Christians that have turned away from God's word. That happens. That's sad, but it happens. And what happened was that these Christians have become worldly again. They had the truth and they threw it away. And their condition has worsened. In Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, Peter explains how much worse it has become for those people. Those Christians that have left the Lord, have turned away from the truth. They don't want to hear it no more. And their condition is 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 23. It says, for if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all of us are in that boat when we escape this world, we come to know Jesus, and we were following Jesus, they are again entangled. In other words, these people that we're talking about in Timothy, those that left the Lord, forsake the truth, fell away, again entangled in them and overcome, the last state has become worse for them than the first. For it would have been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered to them. What the true proverb says has happened to them. The dog returns to its vomit, and the sow, after washing herself, returns to wallow in the mire. Now that is a terrible picture. I believe I've said it before about this dog vomit. If you've ever watched that happen, not anything good to look at. But that's what Peter describes as somebody that once knew the Lord, was following the Lord, and they turn again to the world. That is what it looks like. And that is their condition. We know in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, this is what Jesus was telling his disciples. It wasn't that made up thing I read a while ago. He was telling them that make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to do all that I have commanded you. And the Lord has commanded quite a bit of us. And that's what we are to follow. And that's what we are to teach other people. And Jesus was probably telling them, warn them about hell. Jesus talked about hell. And tell them that judgment is coming when I return again. And Paul talked about that. I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul talked about that. And John over in chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, Jesus probably told them, so this is what John wrote. Says, for this is the love of God, that if we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. If we love Jesus, we'll keep his commandments. Now in Big John chapter 8. Jesus tells us why people become lost. And this would include the world, I believe. This would include the world too. John chapter 8, verses 42 through 47. And Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. What do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word." People cannot bear to hear God's word. That's what's wrong with the world. That's why the world is lost. "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not standeth in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whosoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." People do not desire to be of God. They do not believe his word. Just think about that. And we've got a world full of people like that now. It don't take long to be on Facebook. Probably a bad place to be. But I see a lot of nasty stuff. I have to close it down and not look at it anymore for a while. And then I'll take a peek at it, and there they are again, doing the things they talk about. We know what they do. They don't like the truth. They change it. So we know that people do not want to acknowledge Christ or investigate into his word, but that's the only way they're going to know his will, is to look to his word. Matthew 26, verses 26 through 28. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for,'" there's that word again, "many." Jesus died for many. He shed his blood for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Also in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." He wanted to save everyone for many. But he's told us the truth that only a few will be saved, for only a few will be chosen. For only a few will look to me and believe in me and follow what I have said. But he calls many. He would love it if everybody would be saved. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 27. Again, we see that responsibility that we have. Christ died for many. It's there for our forgiveness. His blood was shed. And he says, "For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith." Well, how do we do that? Well, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." In other words, they put on the garment. We talked about that wedding garment a while ago that the man didn't have. His responsibility was to have it, to go to the wedding feast, but he didn't have it. And here we see again, "For as many as you were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And that's the responsibility that we have. is to do what Christ has said, to put him on. Gary's lesson this morning, believing that word, after hearing it, desiring a change, wanting to repent. And he was wanting to know about those that would confess Jesus. Jesus says, confess me and I'll confess you before my Father. And we know that he said, believe, those that believe and are baptized shall be saved. Some people ride over that real quickly, not giving much heeding to the word baptized. But that's what Jesus said. You don't take pieces of it and throw the rest of it away. If you do that, you're lying. You're not taking God's word, his truth. You're not following that truth. And that's what the world wants to do. They want to change things to suit them. Be careful in doing that. It only leads you into a place where Jesus says, you say these things that you were following me there in chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. But I never knew you because you wasn't doing what I told you to do. So think about these things. Realize that you have a responsibility. Know that God wants to save you, every one of us. He's given us his word. He gave us his son as a sacrifice. But we have a responsibility to know what he wants us to do and then to do it. So if we can help anyone at this time, please come as we stand and sing this song. It won't be very...